Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. It's good to be back with you again here on Sunday evening.
Always good to be here Sunday night.
It is.
And I hope you all had an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, no, I say that at the end.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day anyway.
Well, thanks.
Every Lord's Day is awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Every day is awesome.
It is. Yeah. Every day is a blessing because God's mercies are new every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every morning it's new.
Yep.
I like that song about, you know, singing in the morning and I'll be singing at night no matter what happens during the day.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to do.
No, it's not.
Not always easy to do. But,
Well, that's true. It's not always easy to do.
Yeah, you did. You said a great quote before we went on the air.
What was that?
You should repeat, no matter how bad things look.
Oh, yeah. No matter what the circumstances are, always trust in the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's
because things can look pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like last week we were talking about Peter, you know, in the prison cell. Things looked pretty bleak.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to be executed, basically.
Yeah.
And God sovereignly delivered him.
Yes.
And in our culture today, sometimes things can look pretty bleak, you know. But God's sovereign over all things.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's a real challenge for us as Christians, as believers, is that do we take that our joy and our hope into where we're going that day?
Mm.
Whether it's with our family, whether it's in our work, whether it's in, you know, a social setting or whatever. Does somebody see you and go, well, I want what that person has? Why are they joyful?
Yeah.
What's the reason for their hope?
Yeah. Why are you so happy all the time?
Yeah. And why are you so grumpy all the time? Well, let me tell you about. No, that's not what you want. But it can be a daunting task. And in our culture, with all the information that is inundating us through all different media sources, devices, platforms, whatever you got, and there's nothing that's really that secure anymore.
Yeah, it's a daunting task. We were talking about doing John chapter 10, which we're going to do.
We are? Oh, we are.
Yes, but not this very minute.
Oh.
But I think what you say leads into, it's probably a good idea to kind of set the stage of where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
Because John chapter 10, of course, is about our good shepherd, about who came to give us life more abundantly, and now people have kind of lost that because now there's many shepherds going all different directions.
And they forget
and
a very important
part. Yes.
There's a very important part that comes before that we forget about.
Mm-hmm.
That's always true, not only in Jesus' time, but in our, especially true in our world today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just, it's not, you know, the Christian walk, walking with the Lord is not always just love, joy, and peace.
Mm-hmm.
There's trial. There's persecution. Mm-hmm. There is a testing that we go through as if by fire to be purified for the kingdom.
That's right.
Because Jesus came to prepare a bride for himself.
That's right.
A spotless bride without blemish.
Yes.
And lest we forget that. So it doesn't make the walk, and it's not that it's going to make the walk easier, but if we don't have things in proper perspective, we can lose hope.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
It can get very discouraging.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that, you know, you put the TV on, if you have it on for any length of time on any of the news channels, it can get pretty discouraging.
Very fast.
And it makes you want to, you know, flip to a channel that you can watch Leave It to Beaver on or, you know, something like that.
let's just totally escape from reality.
Yeah, that's right. But even as believers and even as people that, you know, like I'm sure those of you listening take your faith very seriously and take the Lord very seriously. At least I hope you do. And I figure you wouldn't be listening to us if you didn't. But even committed believers who take this seriously, it's easy to get discouraged when you look around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this week I was struck by a list of politicians who profess themselves to be Christian, who are against the new Supreme Court nominee because he's pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said, you know, if you vote for him, you're being complicit in evil. And thinking, this is what we've come to, you know, talking about don't substitute darkness for light and, you know, don't call evil good and good evil. Don't substitute sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Now, if you are pro-life, you're complicit with evil.
Right.
And if you're pro-choice and have led to, the killing of almost 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade, you're the good person.
Yeah.
And this is this kind of postmodern thinking that's developed. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me, and I know I've said this a lot, and I don't remember who said it, but when I heard it on the radio 6 or 8 months ago, I think about it every day. And this guy said, the thing that's worse than a wolf in sheep's clothing is a wolf in shepherd's clothing.
Yeah.
I thought, man, is that ever powerful?
Yeah.
Because now, before we talk about John 10, now, instead of Jesus being the only one who comes into the sheepfold and the sheep follow him out, now mm-hmm. you got shepherds in quotation marks all over the place saying, hey, it's like this. Hey, it's not like that. Hey, it's like this. Hey, you guys ought to follow me. Hey, don't listen to that guy. He's complicit with evil. Hey. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, if you're not grounded in truth, you have 28,000 different paths you can be on.
Yeah.
And in this postmodern world now, we've come to the point where you have people that have no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough. I'm older than you, but you're no little
by a lot.
You're no young kid. But, you know, when I was growing up.
Hey, watch it.
Everybody in my neighborhood went to some kind of church.
Yeah.
And if somebody outside mentioned Jesus, you knew who that was in a very serious way.
Yeah.
And you knew that God had a moral law, and when you violated the law, there were consequences,
mm-hmm.
either in this life or, if not in this life, in the next life.
Yeah.
And you may get away with something now, but you're not going to get away with it. I mean, we were raised that way.
Yeah.
Now, that's gone.
The whole moral fabric has really been frayed.
Yes.
You know, quite substantially.
Yes.
And... You know, when you were talking about your opening statement about Roe versus Wade, mm-hmm. you know, the killing of an innocent life, mm-hmm. God does not rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
That's right.
And to call somebody who would protect that innocent life evil, while the one who takes it good, mm-hmm. is the complete opposite of truth.
Yes.
That's Isaiah 5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet, our culture is being trained to believe a lie and to dismiss the truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's not just those who don't believe. Sadly, it's many who do believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Many who do profess to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You cannot support the destruction of God's creation at the same time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You cannot support killing. It's not, you know, it's not a health issue. It's not a choice issue. It's demonic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's demonic.
I mean, Jesus himself said, if you harm a child, it's better you had a 100-pound millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea.
Yeah.
You'll be better off that way.
And we can be easily deceived, mm-hmm. and go astray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many references in scripture where, you know, someone professes themselves to be wise and they become foolish.
Yeah.
You know, there'll come a time where what was, you know, good will be called evil and evil will be called good.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty close to that.
Yes.
If we're not already really entrenched
into it. And we're calling darkness light.
Right.
And the people that are standing up for the truth, the light of the truth, are now called dark.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are narrow-minded. They're the ones that are intolerant. They're the ones that are whatever. And as time has gone on in this postmodern era, the church has kind of surrendered to that.
Yeah.
Now everybody's afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
And so the church is becoming more like the world because they want to be tolerant.
Yes.
And so there's people you know, willing to deny the truth, mm-hmm. believe the foundation that they had,
yeah.
because they want to be tolerant.
Yeah.
They don't want to look foolish in front of people. They don't right. want to be accused of offending people.
Yeah.
They don't want to be accused of being intolerant and narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And so the truth has been hijacked into every manner of nonsense
right.
that makes no sense anymore.
Yeah. With two of the things that come to mind are the words tolerance and diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pop culture, you know, words that are thrown out there is you have to be tolerant and you have to be diversified. You have to have diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that really mean? You know, and it can mean different things to different people, but does it ring true with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say, tolerate one another as I have tolerated you. He said, love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
And diversity, you know, is a political term.
Yes.
That is being, people get swept up in these things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's the next biggest thing on
yes.
this social media site or that social media site. And man, it's in all the churches, it's on all the schools, and it's in the universities and blah, 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 blah. And we don't even know where it's taking us. We just jump on the ship and go, hey, I'm along for the ride. Let's go.
Yeah.
This is going to be.
Yes.
Man, this is going to be the best thing ever in the history of mankind. And you see where it leads our whole society.
Yes.
Not just our nation, but the world is entrapped in this stuff.
And it's all built now on shifting sand, as
yeah.
Jesus would say.
Yeah,
it's not built on a rock. It's built on shifting sand.
Yeah.
People don't know what the truth, capital T, is.
Right.
So when you don't have a foundation in truth, you hear somebody say something and you mm-hmm. say, well, that makes sense. You know, who am I to say that that's wrong?
Yeah.
Well, who am I to interfere with that?
And then I
or who am I to, you know, I better not say anything.
There was something from one of the news sources that says, you know, people are now parents are allowing their children to choose their own gender.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like, okay, we've reached the point of.
Yeah. That's Romans chapter 1 stuff, you know, professing themselves to be wise,
yeah.
they become fools.
As if the doctor in the hospital doesn't know what,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
what gender they are.
Yes.
So, but it, I think it, all this, it brings us to the point of why we're going to talk about John 10:10.
Yeah. And traditional Christian countries, let's say, are now either lukewarm or they're mm-hmm. de-Christianized. I was stunned to hear that, in the province of Quebec, of all the men and women who live together, about one third are married. Now, you know, this used to be a Catholic province, a Catholic part of the country, but,
right.
you know, Catholic or some other Christian group notwithstanding, two thirds of people that are living together are not married.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when I was growing up, that would have been, you would have been outcast from your community if you'd have moved in with a woman you weren't married to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to show your face on the street.
Right.
But now it's two thirds of them. And not to mention the children that are born not to a mother and a father, but, well, I mean, obviously they have a mother and a father, but they're not to a husband and a wife,
yeah.
let's say, or born outside of marriage. And these are traditional Christian ideas that have been under attack, as you say, by demonic forces, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
These are dark forces, and you know, the book of Revelation tells us that when Satan knows his time is short, he gets very aggressive.
Yeah.
And we see that. I mean, you don't even have to turn on your TV. You just have to listen to how people around you are talking and how people respond to, quote, old-fashioned ideas like that. Or, quote, well, what's it to you if two men want to get married? Or what's it to you if somebody wants to do this? And even within the churches, there's such a weakness in terms of knowing traditional foundational Christianity. And there's such a limited amount of biblical knowledge anymore that people have surrendered to this. And like I like to say, the watchmen on the walls are asleep, and the barbarians don't even have to come over the walls. They can just come right in through the gates.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, well, come on in. And the churches are inviting these people in to the point where, I mean, we can go on and on and on with examples, and I don't want to do that. But to the point where pro-choice, and I hate that term because it gives it too much legitimacy, but pro-murder people are being just invited in to talk at church events as if it doesn't matter what they believe.
Yeah.
Or as the politicians who espouse this, all of this, are they ever counseled by their ministers or priests or rabbis or whoever? I'm sure not. Because they make public statements, they cause public scandal based on what their political beliefs are and what their moral beliefs are. And I never hear anybody say anything to the contrary.
Right.
Whereas when I like to use this as an example too. When I was a young kid, in the 50s, Adlai Stevenson ran for president twice against Dwight Eisenhower and lost both times. And one of the main reasons he lost was he was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a taboo.
Yeah.
That people say, well, I'm not voting for him. He's divorced. I mean, now that sounds comical.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, when I was a young kid, I had one friend in my whole grade school whose parents were divorced. Can you imagine? Now it's at least half. And it doesn't matter whether you go to a Christian school, a Catholic school, or a public school. Half of the people there come from a divorced family because it's become acceptable way of life. And this is the post-Christian idea, which now, with more and more people are talking about new evangelization, including us, we talk about new evangelization a lot, both on the air and in other stuff we do. It's where do you even start with this?
Yeah.
Because you can't go up to a 20-year-old and say, do you know what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8? They'll look at you like, what?
Yeah, they're not going to know.
What's Romans? Who's St. Paul? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's not how you approach the thing. I mean, you have to start at some basic level that I don't even know the best strategy.
Yeah.
But it's a much different atmosphere than it was even 30 years ago, let alone 60 or 100 years ago. And the time for new evangelization is now getting critical because the darkness has spread very rapidly and is very dense right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, and it says this in Jeremiah chapter 8. I'm going to read it a little bit here from chapter 8. Ooh. This begins in verse 4. Tell them, thus says the Lord, when someone falls, do they not rise again? If they turn away, do they not turn back? Why then do these people resist with persistent rebellion? Why do they cling to deception, refuse to turn back? I have listened closely. They speak what is not true. No one regrets wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone keeps on running their course like a horse dashing into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows its seasons. Turtle dove, swift, and thrush observe the time of their return. But my people do not know the order of the Lord.
Oh.
How can you say we are wise? We have the law of the Lord. See, that has been changed into falsehood by the lying pen of the scribes. The wise are put to shame, terrified, and trapped. Since they have rejected the word of the Lord, what sort of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to other men, their fields to new owners. Small and great alike, all are greedy for gain. Prophet and priest, all practice fraud. They have treated lightly the injury to the daughter of my people. Peace, peace, they say, though there is no peace. They have acted shamefully. They have done abominable things, yet they are not at all ashamed. They do not know how to blush.
Yes.
Hence they shall be among those who fall. In their time of punishment, they shall stumble, says the Lord.
Wow.
It's not just the political culture. It's not just the left or the right.
Mm-hmm.
this is deeply into the church as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Because the church has absorbed so much of the world that in most cases you can't tell the difference.
Right.
Sadly.
And many people will say, well, Jesus accepted everybody. And I say, yes, he did. But he didn't tell them to stay that way.
He also said, go and sin no more.
Right. The woman caught in adultery. He didn't say, well, you know, you got caught and that was, you know, bad that you got caught and nobody condemned you. So that's great. So, yeah. you know, go on your way. He said, don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And certainly he found, you know, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Hey, I'm going to come to your house. And after a while, Zacchaeus goes, hey, I see what I've done wrong. I'm going to give back the money that I took from people fourfold.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, Zacchaeus, you really, I know you've been cheating people and, but you know, that's your job. So, you know, whatever, you know,
we expect that from you.
Yeah. I mean, we expect, you know, crooked tax collectors.
Yeah.
Not those that work for the IRS, of course, unless they're, in case they're listening. But, you know, illegal embezzlement was going on. Oh yeah, just go ahead and keep doing it. But you know,
right?
No, it's like you got to stop doing this, and you got to repay the people that you stole this money from.
And Zacchaeus does it. Yeah. Not only does it, he said, "I'm going to give four times what I extorted from them."
Yes.
And so when you meet the Lord, the light of truth comes into your
yes.
into your field
yes.
of vision,
yes.
and you can either accept it or you can reject it. So from John 10:10, I know our timer is going to run short, but I think we need to put this in there and then we can go on to the next week. But in John 10:10, Jesus says, a thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on in our world that is not of the Lord is going to be from the evil one. Because
mm-hmm.
he does not want God's people to prosper. He
right.
does not want God's people to walk in freedom
right.
and in the freedom of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He wants them enslaved, entrapped, mm-hmm. and defeated.
And he sets up counterfeits.
Exactly. And we see this all the time in our culture, and we have to recognize that one of the most important things that the church can do today is to equip believers to recognize mm-hmm. and to see this.
Mm.
But if they don't, God's people are going to perish.
Mm.
And you have a lot of heads of churches who reject the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who think they're doing good by just giving a fluffy talk,
mm-hmm.
and the people are floundering in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are...
Absolutely.
They're going to perish.
Yes.
And that pastor or that whoever it is, that pastor or priest... They're going to be held accountable to a higher standard before the Lord.
Yes.
Because you let God's people perish.
Jeremiah, I think it's, I can't remember now if it's 23 or 26. Oh. But anyway, God says, woe to the shepherds that lead my people down the wrong
yeah.
paths. Because the shepherd is supposed to take the sheep on a way that keeps them away from the enemy. The shepherd is supposed to watch out for the wolf who's coming in, not lead them down a path where the wolf can attack at will. Because
yeah.
nobody's armed. The sheep can't defend themselves. You know, we're compared to sheep because a sheep that can't defend itself can't run. But in the Christian viewpoint that we've come to now, nobody knows the scripture. Nobody knows the 2,000 years of Christian tradition. It's like all of a sudden now, hey, we can do whatever we want. Hey, that's all old fashioned stuff.
Right. And the divisions amongst denominations
yeah.
is a whole nother matter that further perpetuates the confusion
yes.
of truth.
Paul was upset about these divisions in Corinth. I think we did a show about that
yeah.
once. And man, if he was here now, of course, I'm sure he knows about it, but
yeah.
if he was here now, he'd look around at 28,000 denominations and say, what in the world's going on here?
Exactly.
Is this the music already?
It is.
We're just on a roll.
And that was Jeremiah 23.
Woo. 23. Yeah. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would come into your heart, enlighten your heart and your mind with the truth of Christ and his resurrection and the truth of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.